Our Hebrew scripture reading for this morning comes from Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 through 26, and it reads, God said to Moses, tell Aaron and his heirs, this is how you will bless the Israelites. Say to them, may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God look kindly upon you and give you peace. There ends the scripture reading. As just about all of you know by now, our stewardship theme this year is family blessings. This would seem to be an easy theme for me since we have a newborn daughter, but I confess I recently found myself having some doubts about the theme itself. It all happened as a result of a TV show called Kidnapped. I was watching it this past month on Netflix while rocking Danilyn to sleep on my lap. The show has virtually no spiritual or intellectual substance except for the scene in the 11th episode. Out of the blue, two kidnappers have a full-blown theological debate while driving along in their car with the son of a millionaire tied up in the back seat. From earlier scenes, we know that one of the kidnappers has moral qualms about what they're doing to the point of going to church and making a confession to a priest. By contrast, the other kidnapper is a complete sociopath who plans on killing the kid after they receive the ransom money. In the car ride, we'll call him the semi-moral kidnapper, asserts that the sociopath kidnapper has much for which he should be thankful to God. The sociopath kidnapper then gives a diatribe against his partner's faith. He mocks the idea of thanking God for the food on one's table because it implies that God likes you more than the people without food on their table. Now, even though this argument came from a sociopath, I kind of agreed with it. I don't want to believe that God likes me more than some poor kid who is going hungry. For this reason, I was about to give up on being thankful to God for anything. I even began to question the whole idea of being blessed. I felt like calling up Ed Frank, the chair of our stewardship committee, and saying, we've got to call off the stewardship campaign. We can't say that we're blessed because that would mean God loves us more than anyone else. We just can't do that. But before I picked up the phone to call Ed, I decided I need to first think about this a little more. The stewardship campaign is pretty important, you know. So I had to think about what it means to be blessed. And I thought maybe it all depends upon how you define being blessed. As I wrestled with this, a particular scenario occurred to me. Pretend that you work in an office and that in this office there is a ritual every year on the day before Thanksgiving. On that day, you get together for a party that has hot cider and pumpkin cheesecake. Part of the tradition is that everyone eats their pumpkin cheesecake as you go around the room, sharing that for which you're thankful. After anyone shares, the custom is to then clap and congratulate them. As you think about what you're going to say when it's your turn, you realize that you have recently been having a difficult time. You're having trouble thinking of things for which to be thankful. In your personal life, you're single, and despite being a wonderful person, you've had a lot of bad luck on the dating scene this past year. This especially bothers you because you want to live out your dream of getting married, having children, and being part of a loving family. As you deal with your disappointment, what makes matters worse is that your family and friends are all a long ways away, making you feel especially lonely. Meanwhile, in your work life, you were demoted earlier in the week by your boss, who is currently on his third piece of cheesecake. In demoting you, the boss made various false claims about the quality of your work. The person who took your place happens to be best buddies with the boss and is currently getting some hot cider for him. As your coworkers share that for which they are thankful, you find yourself having an easier time clapping for some compared to others. Someone named Aaron is grateful for finding the love of his life and getting married. Everyone claps. Someone named Ed is grateful for having been married to the love of his life for 49 years. Everyone claps. A couple of office mates are grateful for having babies in the past year who have won their hearts from the first minute they were born. Everyone claps. Someone named Cliff is grateful for the love of all the family and friends who threw him a big party the other weekend. Everyone claps. Now, for all of these people, you and everyone else don't have any trouble clapping. But next, it's the turn of the person who took your job. As he looks with appreciation at your boss, he shares that he's thankful for his promotion. Everyone gives a limp wrist clap. Yeah. So why the different responses? With the initial coworkers, they're grateful for things in which there are no winners and losers. There is no one deciding who gets to be happily in love and who gets to be surrounded by lots of family and friends. Even though you would like to have those things as well, no one is treating you unfairly, even if life is unfair. By contrast, in the case of the person who got your job, there is a winner and a loser. Someone is deciding who gets to be promoted and who gets to be demoted. Moreover, that someone is being unfair. Now, where am I going with all of this? How does this help us come up with a better theology than our sociopath kidnapper? I think part of the problem with the kidnapper's argument is that it assumes a certain kind of blessing and a certain kind of God who gives that blessing. If we think of blessings in material terms, and if we think of those blessings as coming from some kind of authority above us who arbitrarily picks winners and losers, those blessings rightly seem unfair. In relation to God, would we want to say that a God who acts as a kind of capricious boss of the universe, who makes it possible for one person to inherit billions of dollars and never work, while another person barely squeaks by and works three jobs, what would we want to say about that kind of God? Now, if we were to instead to think of blessing in spiritual terms rather than material terms, then I think we end up with a different conception of blessings and of God than the conception held by the sociopath kidnapper. What if we think of love or the presence of God in our lives as a blessing? What if we think of blessings as being part of the divine mystery of life and not the result of some arbitrary decision being made above us? In this case, it would seem almost inhuman not to celebrate your own blessings or the blessings of someone else. It would be like telling a couple they can't celebrate their 50th anniversary because they have to think about all those unhappy single people in the world. Not that all single people are unhappy. This morning, I want to invite you to think about the spiritual blessings in your life. If you want, you can close your eyes while we do this. I want you to think about those times in the past year in which you have experienced God. Perhaps you experienced God in the form of love. Perhaps in the form of compassion and care. Perhaps in the form of peace and harmony. Perhaps in the form of justice and righteousness. Maybe even in the form of creativity and joy. Think about experiences of God in all the areas of your life, whether it's at home or in the workplace. Next, I want you to envision yourself coming to church to give thanks for all of those spiritual blessings. Because isn't that one of the main reasons we worship? to give thanks to God for the blessings in our lives. In giving thanks to God for each of your blessings, further imagine coming forward to the altar during worship to receive a prayer of blessing. The prayer that you then hear is this: May God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God look kindly upon you and give you peace. Amen. A couple of members of our stewardship committee are going to bring this table forward with the basket on it, and we are going to march down the center aisle, pew by pew, to place our pledges before the altar. I invite you to come forward in a spirit of gratitude as you think about the spiritual blessings you have received from this church during the past year. Let your pledge be your way of giving thanks for those blessings.